Any members of the public who want to speak under public comment for the closed session?
No, we have no one on the line.
Very good. Then we will go ahead and recess into closed session. So it looks like Councilmember Robert is coming back on momentarily. So we will try and see him in closed session, but we'll ask other...
Manage your callers from the call-in studio web interface. Audio recording is on. Dual channel.
Is now exiting.
Can you hear me now, Mayor?
Ah, yes, we can. Thank you, sir. Good to see you. Or at least hear you now. Okay, so we'll have a couple folks. Transcription has stopped. I see that. And so we'll let folks who aren't part of the closed session leave this meeting, and we'll see you at 6 o'clock. Very good. Thank you, sir. I will go ahead and call to order our city council meeting, our regular city council meeting being held virtually for this Tuesday, October 25th, 2021, for the city of Grover Beach. It is 6 o'clock. And before we call to order our regular meeting, let us turn to our city clerk, our city attorney, and see if there's any announcements out of our closed session that we held at 5 p.m. today.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. No, we have no reportable action coming out of our closed session.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Then we will go ahead and close that and virtually do a call to order for this City Council meeting of October 25th, which is a Monday. So this order is given under public health conditions and consistent with Assembly Bill number 361. These meetings are being held by teleconference only until further notice. This meeting can be viewed on Channel 20 and is available live streaming on the city's website, as well as on www.slow-span.org. And members of the public are invited to provide public comment during the course of the meeting by calling in at 805-321-6639, and the phone line is open now if you wanted to call in. So with that, let's move into our moment of silence. I'm going to do a moment of reflection this evening. So rather than a typical moment of silence, so going to reflect on the fact that happy that we had some rain today. So we had some significant rain. Also happy for limited power outages within Grover Beach and the quick PG&E response to those power outages. And then also happy for the limited traffic issues that occurred as a result of those storms. So if you would just all take a moment, a silent moment of reflection to in your mind to reflect on something of your choice. Very good. Thank you, everyone, for joining us in that moment of reflection. So now we'll turn it over to our flag salute, where this evening we're going to invite Councilmember Robert to lead us in the flag salute. The floor is yours, sir.
Thank you, Mayor. Place your right hand over your heart and repeat after me, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Definitely appreciate that. So that will take us to our roll call. Well, I'll turn to our city clerk to do the honors, please.
Councilmember Miller.
Here.
Councilmember Robert.
Here.
Councilmember Rushing.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Here.
Mayor Lee.
I am here as well, so we have a quorum, so we will proceed. So that takes us to our closed session announcements. Let's see if there's any announcements that Mr. Hale, as our city attorney, needs to fill us in on from prior closed sessions.
Not at this time, Mayor.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. That'll take us to our agenda review, or at this time, the council will review the order of business to be conducted and receive requests or make announcements regarding any changes in the order of the day. Let's see if any member of the council has any questions or comments on the order of the day. If not, I'll proceed and look for a motion to adopt the agenda as presented. If you do have any modifications, go ahead and unmute yourself. Or I'll go ahead and accept a motion.
Well, I'll move to accept the agenda as posted.
I'll second that.
Looks like a motion by Councilmember Miller, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Bright. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Very good. We will proceed with the agenda as presented, which takes us to our ceremonial calendar this evening, where we do have a proclamation for Family Court Awareness Month. Family Court Awareness Month. And I'll turn to our Mayor Pro Tem, Ms. Bright, to read that proclamation, please.
Thank you. I'm honored to do so. This is a proclamation of the City of Grover Beach City Council designating the month of November as Family Court Awareness Month. Whereas the Grover Beach City Council recognizes that regardless of whether a city physically houses a courthouse, families in that city are affected by the family court system and want to let these families know that we see them and prioritize child safety. And whereas the mission at One Mom's Battle, OMB, and the Family Court Awareness Month Committee, FCAMC, is to increase awareness on the importance of a family court system that prioritizes child safety and acts in the best interest of children. And whereas the mission at the FCAMC is to increase awareness on the importance of education and training on domestic violence, childhood trauma, and post-separation abuse for all professionals working within the family court system. And whereas the mission at the FCAMC is to educate judges and other family court professionals on the empirical data and research that is currently available. Such research is a critical component to making decisions that are truly in the best interest of children. This research includes the Adverse Childhood Experiences Study, Saunders Study, the Meyer Study, Child Custody Outcomes in Cases Involving Abuse Allegations, and the Santa Clara Law Study. And whereas, the mission at the FCAMC is fueled by the desire for awareness and change in the family court system while honoring the 100 plus children in the United States who have been murdered by a parent after a custody court rejected the other parent's plea for protection. Oops. Excuse me, I need to move my screen down. Thank you. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Grover Beach City Council is proclaiming November 2021 as Family Court Awareness Month.
Very good. Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem Bright, for reading that proclamation. And I understand we have Ms. Tina Swithin here to accept the proclamation. And if you would like to say some words.
Thank you for your time. Hi, thank you so much for your time. And I just wanted to take a moment to say, you know, I entered the family court system personally 12 years ago and naively believed that child safety was the priority. And unfortunately, that's not what's happening in our court system. And what we know about domestic violence, and it is right now October, is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. That's about power and control. And that doesn't mysteriously vanish. It just transfers into the court system and post-separation abuse. So our goal is to really shine a spotlight on these issues. And we are absolutely grateful to the City of Grover Beach for joining the list of over 150 cities, counties, and states across the United States that have now proclaimed November as Family Court Awareness Month. So I appreciate you standing with us to recognize the importance of a court system that prioritizes children.
Very good. Thank you for those comments, Ms. Swithin. Let's see if there's any members of the council that have any questions or comments on behalf of that. If you do, go ahead and unmute yourself, please. Councilmember Roberts.
I just want to thank you for all that you do. Make a big difference, and we appreciate it also. Thank you.
Thank you.
Indeed. And next, we'll turn to Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Thank you, Mayor. I, too, just wanted to express my gratitude for you being there. Reading the proclamation really made me aware that this is an issue. Fortunately, I've not had to confront those issues, but it is important that people be aware that is happening, and we do appreciate you coming forward and being here this evening. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very good. And I'll just echo the comments of my colleagues as well, and then just ask a quick question, if I might, Ms. Swithin, is if someone needed or would like to get more information about the family court process or the items of how to get support from there, is there a website or a point of contact that they might reach out to?
Yes, actually, my website is onemomsbattle.com. That's my organization, and it's what I started 12 years ago when I was blindly trying to navigate this very difficult system while representing myself because of financial abuse. I could not afford an attorney, and so I learned a lot along the way, and now I'm grateful to be in a position to help others navigate the system.
Very good. I definitely appreciate that. And just to reiterate, that was onemomsbattle.com, correct?
Yes.
Very, very good. Okay. So if anyone does need help or assistance, they can go to that website and learn more and determine next steps in the process. So very good. So not seeing any other mics unmute, I'll turn to you, Ms. Swithin, see if there's any closing comments you want to make before we move on to our next item.
No, I'm just absolute gratitude to all of you and for the work you are doing and for the organizations that you are recognizing. It really means a lot to us.
Well, very good. Well, thank you for being here tonight, and we look forward to hearing more about your organization in the future.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So that does conclude our ceremonial calendar this evening, and it'll take us into presentations where we don't have any active presentations tonight. So that'll take us to our public communications, where during this time, the council will allow public communications with additional communications, if necessary, after the regular business items. Any member of the public may address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of this council. The council will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the council cannot act on items that are not on tonight's agenda. And so if anyone did want to call in for public comment, please do so at 805-321-6639. And I'll turn to our city clerk to see if there's any members of the public on the line for public comment.
Yes, we have Lily Goldstein.
Good evening, Ms. Goldstein.
Hello. Hello, my name is Lily, and we are the chair initiative. Oh, can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Okay, just want to check in. For the past few years, we have shared the importance of childcare and the dire childcare crisis that exists in our state and local community. We have asserted and reinforced the belief that an investment in childcare is an investment in our economy and in our community. During the past 2 years, we've asked for support, spread awareness, and sought to implement change. We come to you today with new data to support these claims. A recent study conducted by BW Research and commissioned by Cuesta College analyzes the economic impact of the childcare industry here in Slo County. This report substantiates what we already know, that childcare is truly essential to our society and to our economy. Key findings and conclusions include the following. Number one, most childcare workers can work full-time and still not earn a living wage. The living wage for a single adult with no dependents in Slo County is roughly $38,400 per year. The average earnings for a childcare worker in the county are $27,200, only 71% of the living wage. Number two, childcare is expensive, and childcare workers likely cannot afford full-cost childcare for their own child. The average cost of childcare in the county is roughly $10,000 per year. Number three, there is a large need for additional childcare capacity in Slo County. The conservative estimate suggests that 2,300 children in the county may have working parents but are not enrolled in a childcare program. Number four, meeting 100% of the low-end estimates for the potential need for childcare in Slo County would increase gross regional product, or GRP, by more than $108 million annually and support and create 425 jobs from this new economic activity. Number five, meeting the entirety of the high-end estimates of potential childcare demand would have an even greater economic impact, contributing $734 million to GRP, roughly equivalent to the GRP contributions of full-service restaurants, residential property managers, and hotels combined. The report will be emailed to you, and we encourage you to read it in its entirety. The study makes a strong case that child care benefits not only children and families, but our community and economy as a whole. For more ways to get involved with We Are the Care, please contact First Five SLO County or go to www.firstfiveslo.org. Thank you so much for your time, and we'll be back again soon with more information and updates. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you for those comments, Ms. Goldstein. We appreciate that update. So I look forward to receiving the report. So let me turn back to our city clerk and see if there's anyone else on the line for public comment.
Yes, we have Rachel Mann.
Good evening, Ms. Mann.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you. So I sent an email about this to the council earlier today, but since I was available, I thought I'd call in. So I'm calling about in the last city council meeting, there was a letter from the owners of the Burger King at Oak Park and Grand. I live around the corner at 16th and Ramona. And as might be expected with the important improvements in safety at that intersection, a car-oriented business like the Burger King, their drivers trying to get into their business are confused. So I see where they're coming from. But I think we need to keep preventing a left turn into that, from the northbound lane into that driveway. But I do think we need to communicate what we want drivers to do in order to get to that business. So I don't know if that is signage or, we want people to go around the block. That was one suggestion I put in my email. But I think it's important that we do try to support them as they are in this business. But I also want to talk about if what we want to do is increase pedestrian and bike over cars, how do we help this car-oriented business attract those customers and benefit from the new pedestrian safety things rather than feel like it's just reducing their business? So I don't know if there is currently, if you walk past it, there's not really a good place for a pedestrian to know where to access their business. You have to walk. You either have to hop over their landscaping from the sidewalk or you have to walk in a car lane. So I'd like to think about what are some things we could do to help improve that situation. The second thing going on from this I'm thinking about is trying to understand what is the future of that business? Like how long are we expecting a drive-through business to be at that corner? The lot is 29,000 square feet. And we don't have a lot of those type of properties in this city where something like a mixed use could go in. Currently, it's actually zoned for I believe it's retail and commercial. And I think that's a missed opportunity. So I'd like to think about that, and as well as looking at the parcel north of it. So those are the things I'm thinking about. I do want to support them in the business that they have now, but I also want to look forward and not lose sight of our goals for pedestrian and bike safety, as well as accessibility for folks in wheelchairs or scooters. So thank you for your time.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Mann, for those comments. So let me turn back to our city clerk and see if there's anyone else on the call on the line for public comments.
No, we have no one else on the line.
Very good. I will go ahead and close public comment at this point of the meeting. And let's just turn it back over to Mr. Bronson for just a minute, because obviously this wasn't a topic that was, or Ms. Mann's comments were a topic that were at the last council meeting. And I think the council provided direction to kind of review some of the items that Ms. Mann may have brought up. So Mr. Bronson, if you might want to just give a quick update on that, please.
Thank you, and good evening, Mr. Mayor, council members. Building on your comments, at the last meeting, we did discuss the potential changes at West Grand Avenue. The council provided direction to proceed with design options that could include removal of the planters with the palm trees and providing another driveway entrance off of West Grand Avenue to the business at the northwest corner of the intersection. So council has made no final decision on that, but council wants to see some additional options, what the cost would be, some of the pros and cons. So staff is working on that. We'll bring that to the council in early 2022 to review and receive your final action at that point. Also, early 2022 is when we'll be able to bring the North Oak Park evaluation to you, meaning the six-month evaluation of the safety improvements that we put in place, including the delineators that prevent the illegal left turn on North Oak Park Boulevard into the driveway of the business, the no right turn on red signals and policies that we put in place and other improvements. So early 2022 is when we'll bring that back to you as well to be able to receive further input and direction on how to proceed there as well.
Very good. Definitely appreciate that quick little summary of what we did last time, and look forward to Ms. Mann and others participating in that conversation when it comes back in early 2022. So with that, I will also say thank you to First Five for providing the update on childcare and providing that report in the near future. And we'll close our public comment on that section and move into our consent agenda, where we have a number of routine items that are scheduled for consideration as a group. If you're following along on the agenda, the recommendations for each item are noted in the parentheses, and members of the public will be allowed to speak on any of the consent items in just a moment. So let's first see if there's any member of the council or the city attorney or the city manager has any questions or items on the consent agenda that we need to discuss before taking the action. So go ahead and either raise your hand or unmute yourself if you have questions on the consent agenda. Not seeing anyone unmute themselves. Let's go ahead and take a quick reach out to through our city clerk, see if any member of the public wants to call in on any item on the consent agenda by calling in at 805-321-6639. So, Madam City Clerk, is there anyone on for public comment on the consent agenda?
No, we have no one on the line.
Very good. They will go ahead and bring it back to the council for consideration of items 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, which range from treasurer's reports, a resolution for consideration of the city of Grover Beach to remain in the Integrated Waste Management Authority, a confirmation of allowing teleconferencing, and then a COVID-19 response update. So by unmuting of oneself, if someone's prepared to make a motion.
I'll make a motion that we accept the agenda. Did you get that?
So I think we got most of it. We'll consider that a motion to accept the consent agenda as presented.
I'll second that.
Okay, very good. So we have a motion by Councilmember Robert, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Bright. Madam City Clerk, roll call, please.
Councilmember Robert.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Yes.
Councilmember Miller.
Yes.
Councilmember Rushing.
Yes.
Mayor Lee.
Yes. Very good. So we do have an approved consent agenda this evening with a number of items. As always, thank you to staff for bringing non-controversial items forward for our consideration. Allowing us to move forward with items on the agenda in a clean and clear format. So that will conclude our consent agenda. We have no public hearings tonight, so that will take us to our regular business items, where our first item is item number 9. And if anyone does want to call in under this item, please do so at 805-321-6639. And this item is an economic development services semi-annual report, and I'll turn it over to our city manager, Mr. Bronson, for quick introductory comments.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and good evening once again. I'm delighted to kick off this item. This is the latest of our economic development updates to the City Council that report out on the services provided to the city by the South County Chambers of Commerce. I'm delighted to introduce, as always, the President and CEO of the Chamber, Jocelyn Brennan, to provide the report tonight.
Hello, Mayor and Council. Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to give a progress report for the last couple months of what we've done to promote business in Grover Beach and also promote tourism in Grover Beach. So I'm going to share my screen. That's looking good. Can everyone see that? Can I get a thumbs up?
So I still have your initials, but I'm assuming it's there. It comes. Yep.
Yep. Okay. I can see it.
A little bit of a delay. Okay. Thank you. So we have, as you know, completed the Grover Beach Buy Local program, which was a big success, and we have reported out on that previously. That wrapped up in July. We have been working on business attraction to attract businesses to Grover Beach, and we've had some really exciting new businesses in Grover, the Ripon e-bikes, Mike's Record Rack, St. Barnabas Thrift, the new ice cream spot, and Sandbar Surf Company. If you haven't tried out those places, you should. We are continuing to look for a location for the co-work space and incubator program in partnership with Cal Poly Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship. They have a vertical for aerospace incubation that they are planning to bring to Grover Beach. That is very exciting. We have a couple leads on locations, so we're still tracking down those leads. We have done a lot of work on business retention, especially in the wake of COVID, and we've done the Shop Local campaign, and we are doing a mini buy local program on the 17th, and so we're encouraging everyone to shop in Grover Beach on the 17th and then bring their receipts to our last mixer of the year, which will be at Epic Entertainment and GB Eats, and that's from 5 to 7, so the more receipts you bring, the greater your chance of winning something. We continue to manage the Economic Asset website, and we use this link as a tool for business attraction so that folks can have a quick snapshot of what doing business in Grover Beach looks like. We will do another business survey. If you'll remember, our last survey went out right before COVID, and then we did sort of a follow-up for businesses after COVID, but it will get another baseline during recovery to see how businesses are doing now. We have done a series of business roundtables. Our next one will be the professional services category, and these are businesses that need the fiber network. So that will be a variety of different types of businesses, but mainly those types of businesses that can't operate without the fiber network. We have made some developments on our business attraction strategy. You'll remember that the four sectors were tourism, which we've launched Visit Grover Beach, cannabis, what we'll call the building sector, so the architects, engineers, and construction sector, and then also that professional services category, attracting businesses that need the fast fiber network. So our next strategy for that is to continue to work with the building sector and put together a digital marketing campaign and outreach strategy for that group. We have made some progress on the workforce training front. We have provided, your council approved funding for scholarships for retraining and upskilling of Grover Beach residents or employees. So five scholarships have gone out on that. And then lastly, our tourism marketing Visit Grover Beach has launched. We did a sticker campaign, and I'm going to give you some statistics on Visit Grover Beach. I'll go through these really quickly, but we're making getting new followers on Facebook. You can see the growth there, 42%. These are some of our most popular Facebook posts. These were for September. Here's Instagram. The Instagram algorithm is a little bit easier to get new followers. The top post from Instagram here. And here's our website, Visit Grover Beach. We're trying to drive traffic to it from social media, and the goal there is for people to see what they can do in Grover Beach and ultimately book a stay in Grover. And then our recent, this just makes me smile, our recent annual dinner. Thank you all for being there. And you can see your very own Parks and Rec Commissioner Cassie was the Ambassador of the Year. And Spoon Trade and Grover Beach Sourdough were the 2021 Business of the Year. So that is a quick update on economic development efforts in Grover Beach. I'll take any questions. I just would like to finish also by inviting you all to the last mixer of the year on the 17th in Grover Beach at GB Eats and Epic Entertainment. And I would also like to thank each of you for your support of the chamber. And also, I just wanted to add that it's been a true honor and privilege to do economic development in Grover Beach, to have a council to work with that has been so proactive and hands-on, business-friendly, and so caring towards the business community and so supportive of the chamber. I think it's been a great partnership. And this is probably my last report out, so I just wanted to say thank you to each of you, and especially to your city manager and your city staff have been just amazing.
Yes, indeed. So we're going to hold that thought for a moment. So, but thank you for that presentation. So thank you for all the hard work that that you have brought from the chamber, as well as the chamber staff members and membership as well. So let's turn to the council and see if there's any questions on the activities and the update that you just provided for us. If so, please go ahead and unmute yourself. Councilmember Robert.
Hi, Jocelyn. Thank you for that report. And I did miss the time of that chamber. Is that 5 o'clock?
Yeah, it starts at 5 and it goes till 7. And if you shop that day, you have a receipt anywhere within the city limits of Grover Beach. And you bring your receipts and you'll be entered to win lots of great Grover Beach prizes.
Thank you.
Very good. Let's see if any other members of the council have questions or comments. Not seeing any microphones unmute. Let's go ahead and, Councilmember Rushing.
Well, I just really wanted to say how much of an honor it's been working with you. I mean, I met you when I first started in this campaign, and we had lots of interesting conversations about various and sundry things in the South County. And I've learned so very much in this past 6.5 months. And so thank you for being such a great partner with Grover Beach. It's amazing. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for always attending our Grover Beach steering committee meetings and government affairs. We really appreciate that.
Very good. Let's see if there's any other questions from council members. Not seeing any unmuting of microphones. Let's go ahead and open this to the public for items just associated with the presentation. So if anyone has any comments on this item, 805-321-6639, and I'll look to our city clerk to see if there's any questions associated with Ms. Brennan's presentation.
No, we have no one on the line.
Very good. I'll go ahead and close public comments on this section and bring it back and just to kind of reiterate the thank you for the presentation. Thank you for the chamber's hard work, and especially Jocelyn, your hard work and dedication in bringing together the chamber to do the activities of that the city has called upon, and doing them in a stellar and exemplary and economically driven fashion. So we definitely appreciate that. So let's see, before we proceed, is there any other comments that any council members want to make on the economic presentation? Like Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Thank you. I just had to kill a spider. So hate to do that, but it had to be done. Thank you for that report, Jocelyn. It was very comprehensive and very positive. And really appreciate you taking the time to put that together. And we are certainly going to miss you very much. There's so much more to say to that, but I won't take up the time here to do that. But yes, and Mayor, may I ask a question? I did think of one while I was murdering the spider. Thank you.
Yes, certainly.
So Jocelyn, you say that we're looking for a place for our incubator or whatever we're calling it. Is there any place in particular that that we're looking for? Is there anything any other information that maybe you might be able to give us or the public that maybe we might be able to assist in some way?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. That's a great question. So we're looking for a minimum of 2,000 square feet because the one of the first incubator participants, the aerospace company, has a few employees that they'll need office space for. And then we also want to provide some open seating for people who want a traditional co-work spot, and then also a spot for chamber staff or city if they wanted to have a desk there. We also are looking for there to be at least one desk for SCORE and some of the other business free business services to have a spot where they can meet with people. So that's why the 2,000 square foot minimum. We could probably go down to 1,500 if we, you know, if we need to, although that we would prefer a minimum of 2,000. Ideally, co-work spaces are somewhere where you can walk to food and other services, somewhere with decent parking. So there, you know, Grover Beach is doing great. There's not a lot of vacancies, so that's, you know, that's good. But we sort of are having a hard time finding a spot for the co-work. One of the places that we are considering is the upstairs of Epic Entertainment is office space up there. So that's an old bank. There's also a vault up there. It would need quite a bit of renovation, but that might be a good just place to start until we find something more permanent. But if anyone hears of anything, please contact the chamber because we're really, sometimes it's something that's not listed that we might be able to find that we just don't know is out there.
Right. That was my hope. Thank you for that information. Appreciate it.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you for that question and for that comment. And so with that, let's close kind of discussion on that particular portion of the economic development strategy discussion and update and say thank you to Ms. Brennan. And before you turn off your microphone, Jocelyn, so we do have another slight segment of this item that we'd like to say thank you to you for all of your hard work associated with the chamber. And so we've got a proclamation that we're going to jointly read to you, and then we'll get this to you to make sure that we've got this to you. And I think we've got a couple folks on the line who might want to say a word or two as well. So we're going to kind of do this in a round robin fashion. I'll go ahead and start by saying this is a proclamation of the Grover Beach City Council recognizing Jocelyn Brennan on her departure as the South County Chambers of Commerce President and CEO. Whereas Jocelyn Brennan began her service as President/CEO of the Arroyo Grande Grover Beach Chamber of Commerce in January of 2018, and
whereas Jocelyn is a longtime South County resident and had served previously as a small business owner, legislative aide for Supervisor Compton, and district representative for Assemblymember Cunningham, and
whereas Jocelyn was instrumental in expanding the Arroyo Grande Grover Beach Chambers of Commerce into a broader regional chamber called the South County Chambers of Commerce to promote and support the business community of the South County area, and
whereas the South County Chamber now consists of over 700 member businesses in Avila Beach, Pismo Beach, Grover Beach, Arroyo Grande, Oceano, and Apulmo, and is committed to developing and maintaining a vital and thriving economy, and
you are still muted, sir.
Okay, sorry. Whereas the South County Chambers is a model of regional business organization encompassing a broad geographic area while retaining individual focus on each community like Grover Beach through member outreach and business meetings, and
whereas under Jocelyn's leadership, the South County Chambers has been an invaluable partner with the City of Grover Beach, promoting and cultivating a strong business community, particularly through an economic development partnership beginning in 2020, and
whereas that strong partnership was pivotal in helping Grover Beach businesses navigate the significant challenges from COVID-19 through multiple grant programs and the Buy Local program, along with countless expressions of hope and support for our businesses, and now therefore be it resolved that the Grover Beach City Council does hereby recognize and commend Jocelyn Brennan for her years of service to the South County area, including the City of Grover Beach, and expresses its gratitude and appreciation for Jocelyn's work as the South County Chamber's President, CEO, and wish her the very best in her future endeavors. So with that, so thank you very much for all of your hard work. So we can never say thank you enough, but we do want to give you an opportunity to say a few words if you like.
Yeah, well, that's very surprising. Thank you. I can't express how rewarding this work has been, particularly with Grover Beach and the businesses of Grover Beach. I'll just say quickly that when I started, we tried to pull together the first Grover Beach business meeting, and you know, we were just happy if we had a handful of people there. And now we have, you know, it's still a fairly small group, but it's a very solid group, and it's quadrupled in size. And I feel like that it's brought some unity to the Grover Beach business community. And that's been really exciting to be a part of. And the work that the council did during COVID, for me to be able to say out in the community to other businesses that there hadn't been a single closure of a business in Grover during COVID, because of the assistance that the city provided and the proactive work the city did, was really critical for the local economy and the employers and for the employees to keep their jobs. So so it's just all I can say is it's been an honor and a privilege, and thank you.
Well, thank you. So, and we couldn't have not done it without the diligence and the effort that you put forward and the chamber put forward as well. So with that, I am going to open up public comment on this item to see if there's anyone that wants to call in at 805-321-6639 and join us in public comment on this item. So let me turn to our city clerk and see if there's anyone that wants to speak on this expanded item of economic development and our feting of Ms. Jocelyn Brennan.
No, we have no one on the line.
Very good. Well, then I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to, I see a raised hand from a Nicole Moore. So I think we've got someone who wants to come in and express some public comments. So go ahead and turn your microphone on if you would.
Thank you, Mayor Lee, and thank you, Council, for your time this evening. I'm Nicole Moore. I'm a resident of Grover Beach, and today I'm calling on behalf of the current South County Chambers of Commerce Board and myself. We want to thank Jocelyn for her tireless hours working on projects that are dear to our communities and our hearts. We are especially proud of Grover Beach. The growth and the change has been swift and enthusiastic, and Jocelyn was an integral part of local businesses surviving and thriving pre-pandemic and throughout the last 18 months. We honor and recognize you for the important work you've done with our city and elected officials, Jocelyn. Thank you so much. We look forward to seeing what else you do in the future, and maintaining the important work you've already started with our deepest gratitude, and I'm emotional. Thank you so much, everybody. So.
Very good. Thank you for those comments. So next I'll turn to Lydia and have her, if she wants to turn on her microphone and or her video, we'd love to hear her comments.
Hi, Jocelyn. Hi, everyone. Leah Zavala with the South County Chambers of Commerce. And I just have a few words. Thank you to Matt and Jeff and the council for having me. A very classy, polished visionary, a super CEO, a super woman, a super mom, and an extraordinary boss lady. Calm, cool, collective, thoughtful, faithful, supportive, and very on purpose. These are a few words to describe Jocelyn. It has been an honor and a privilege to work with you the last several years. On behalf of our chamber staff, we applaud you on a job above and beyond well done. Thank you for your years of service to our regional community and for investing your time, not only in myself, but in our staff. We wish you the best, many blessings, and much love to you. And thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Leah, for those comments. So let's see if I'll turn back to our city clerk one more time, see if there's any members of the public that want to speak on this expanded item.
No, I have no one on the line.
Very good. Then let me turn back to our city manager before we have any closing comments from council members, because I know the working relationship between our city manager and Jocelyn has been incredible to be able to bring this together. So let me turn it over to Mr. Bonson for any comments that he might have.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and council members. Hello, Jocelyn. this is a very special evening, and we are recognizing the progress that we've made as a community and the work the Chamber has done on our behalf for the last several years, and Jocelyn's tremendous role in that. I got to know Jocelyn in 2018 when she came into her role in the Chamber. We worked together in 2018, 2019 as partners, but maybe a little bit less directly than we have in the last couple of years. We began this economic development partnership in 2020, and just look what happened in 2020. About a month after we began our contract, the world changed. Our business community changed. Our entire economic livelihood was at risk. It really called this partnership into a different lens, a different focus, and it really galvanized the work that we did together. I can't tell you how many times Jocelyn and I were on the phone, on email, on text late at night, trying to figure out how to support our businesses. What can we do to help our businesses see another day? And then a day after that. We worked tirelessly to try to figure out how to support each other and support our communities going forward. I'm so proud of the work that we've done. It's been some of the most rewarding work of my professional career. And Jocelyn has been instrumental in helping our community over these last few years. We know she's not going anywhere. She's still in our community. She's still here in South County. She's still supporting us across our community, just in a different capacity. But I want to take this moment publicly and just thank you, Jocelyn, for everything you have done for our community in Grover Beach, your tireless service, your ethic, your leadership. You've been tremendous in everything you've done. And I want to take also a moment to share with you on virtually a couple of parting gifts on behalf of the city of Grover Beach. A lovely West Grand Avenue street sign, because of all the tireless work you have done and will continue to do to advocate for a true Grand Avenue that's a grand boulevard for our community. So this will adorn somewhere in a place of prominence, I hope, as a reminder of that. And secondly, welcome to Grover Beach. You've been a leading voice for tourism marketing, for tourism promotion, and being proud of who we are as a community and showing the assets that make our community special and unique. So for that, you get a brand new Welcome to Grover Beach city limit sign to also have a place of prominence with you as well. So Jocelyn, thank you. We know you're not going anywhere. It's a different capacity, a different relationship. But we want to thank you tremendously. I want to thank you personally for what you have done for our community over these last few years. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Very good. Thank you very much for that. So let's see if either Ms. Brennan or by council unmuting themselves, if anyone wants to make any further comments. Looks like Councilmember Miller.
Thank you, Mary Lee. I'll take a turn here. I believe Ms. Brennan recently stated that Grover Beach moves at the speed of business. I'd like to thank her for helping the city maintain that speed and for her tireless support and advocacy of our local businesses. Her successful partnership with the city and service to businesses has been invaluable. So thank you. It's been a pleasure to work with you.
Thank you.
Very good. Councilmember Roberts.
Thank you, Jocelyn, for all you've done. And I know this is not goodbye. I know you have great plans for not only Grover Beach, but for the other supporting communities. And we look forward to seeing what those plans are. Very exciting. Thank you.
Very good. And I'll just kind of close on that same note and just say thank you so much. We couldn't have done it without you. It would have been different. It would have been tragically harder. And so we appreciate all the hard work that you've done. And like so many before me have said, fortunately, you're not going anywhere. You're still going to be in the community. So we'll look forward to leaning upon your expertise, leaning upon your humor, leaning upon your smile and the hope that you bring to every community that you join. So we'll look forward to that and see if there's any last parting comments that you'd like to provide.
Thank you. And please know I'm just a phone call away and I'm still here to support Grover Beach and be a resource to each of you. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Jocelyn. Appreciate that. And with that, let's go ahead and close work on item number 9. And let's go ahead and take a quick 5-minute break and come back at 6:55. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. Then I will go ahead and call back to order this meeting of October 25th, the last Monday in October, and that'll proceed us to, item number 10 on the agenda tonight, which is a commercial cannabis tax rates policy discussion. And I'll turn it over to our city manager for brief comments before turning it over to Administrative Services Director Purcell.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Actually, I'll be leading the presentation tonight and walking through this item very briefly. So what's before the council is a request from staff to get policy direction on modifications to our commercial cannabis tax rates. This follows a conversation the council had back in May on a number of different commercial cannabis issues. Next slide, please. So just to take a quick moment in time, it's been almost 5 years since voters approved Measure L-16. Which established a cannabis tax in the city of Grover Beach, 5 years next month. It's been about 4 years since we've had a commercial cannabis ordinance in effect. It was adopted in May of 2017, and our first businesses started operating in May of 2018. So we're about 3.5 years into the establishment of the commercial cannabis industry in businesses that have been operational. Our businesses have been complying with our regulations, complying with our code, paying their taxes, complying with outside audits. It's been a regular industry going forward for the last 3.5 years. We have about 30 businesses that have been entitled, meaning they've been permitted and approved by the city, with 12 that are currently in operation and another handful that are currently in construction. Next slide, please. So there are three, actually, to be exact, that are in construction as we speak, including our fourth retail facility. As you're aware, our permits, our code allows for up to three retailer permits, three are operational, and our fourth is under construction and will be operating, we believe, by the springtime. We also have a testing laboratory that is in the final stages of preparation and construction. They've been working with the State Department of Cannabis Control for quite a while on the licensing process, and we're ready to help them move forward as soon as they get the state approval. Last fiscal year, we generated $2.4 million in cannabis tax revenues. And actually, this year, we are projecting that amount again. And we believe that we've hit a mark where our revenues over the last year or two really help constitute what our revenue stream is for this fiscal year, with some additional developments coming online that we'll talk about that relate to this discussion around tax rates. As the council is aware, cannabis revenues are right now our third largest general fund revenue source, 15%. Our number one revenue source now is sales tax revenues. Property tax revenues a close second, and then our cannabis tax revenues at the third spot. So they are a very prominent revenue source for us and allows us to do some significant projects to help meet community needs. These are general revenues, meaning that the city council has the ability to allocate those revenues as you see fit to support community needs, such as major street projects and facility improvements, things that we weren't able to get to prior to these revenues coming online the last couple of years. That being said, we have continued to be cautious with these revenues because it is a new industry. It's a new industry that has significant uncertainties as we go forward, with the illegal underground market still in too strong of a position for us and other communities, and other businesses coming online in other communities. So we've been recommending, and the council has been approving, cautious use of these revenues, mainly for one-time purposes, projects, reserves, paying down pension liabilities, and limit our ongoing exposure as we continue to evolve in this new revenue source. Next slide, please. This slide, I think, is very visual in that it shows the revenues that have been generated from cannabis businesses that start at $16,000 fiscal year 18 to $2.4 million in fiscal year 21. That's a significant uptick in a brand new revenue source that didn't exist before 2018. So you see why, again, we've been trying to be cautious and prudent in how we're using the revenues, but it is a sizable revenue source that helps support community needs. Next slide, please. Back in May, we provided a comparison of our city's tax rates to about 35 other communities around the state. What we found is that we are generally below average compared to the averages that we saw amongst these 35 different jurisdictions. Our retail rate is 5%, which is below the 7% average of other communities. Manufacturing, 3%, below the 5% average. In distribution and testing, we were closer to the average amount, average level, just shy of the average in distribution and right at the average in testing. And that's an important consideration as we look at potential changes to the rates. Next slide, please. So back in May, the council did provide direction for us to consider potential targeted reductions, targeted changes to help make sure that we were a good environment for future investments within our community. This work also came to us from industry representatives who said that our tax structure for distribution and manufacturing could be seen as a disincentive because of other comparisons around our region, not just around the state, but around our region, Santa Barbara County in particular. We've taken a look at some revenue estimates, and hypothetically, if we were to reduce our manufacturing tax rate by 1%, to go from 3 to 2, that produced almost a $200,000 reduction in tax revenue based on actual revenues from last fiscal year collectively across our manufacturers. For distribution, it's a little bit lower reduction, about $70,000, and reducing from 3% to 2%. We believe that these are important numbers to think about, but I think for us, really, the distribution is the key opportunity that we wanted to emphasize to the council this evening. What we found is if you look at other communities close to us, such as Lompoc, Santa Barbara County, Carpinteria, our distribution rate of 3% is an outlier. It is higher than other communities around us. And that is increasingly important because distribution for cannabis products is now more of a statewide industry. And manufacturers and retailers will use whatever distributor has a lower cost. And that cost is informed in part by tax rates. So even though there may be a distributor close by, if there's a higher tax rate, they may use somebody significantly farther away with a lower tax structure. So really, distribution is a key middle ground. It's a middle person, really, in how cannabis products are taken from cultivation to manufacturing to retail, along with testing labs. And that's really a linchpin for our industry. Next slide, please. So what staff is recommending, based on this information, is a three-part change in our tax structure. First, we're recommending that we reduce our distribution rate from 3% to 2% across the board for distribution businesses. And then we'd further reduce it to 1% for businesses that generate $10 million or more in annual gross revenues. This is called a tiered rate, and it's something that is in place in some other communities that try to provide an incentive for businesses of a certain level. I'll say that one of the advantages of our tax structure is that it is easy to understand, it's consistent, and you know what you're getting based on the tax rate. We don't want to create, in our opinion, a tax structure that's overly complicated and creates multiple tiers that create different incentives for perhaps not generating the full amount that a community might generate. A nearby community has identified a five-tier structure, which we believe may be a little bit too complicated for our purposes in Grover Beach. So our recommendation is to look at a one-tier system to say that a business that generates a certain amount above and beyond the current amount could see a lower tax rate as a result of that added investment into our community. We also are recommending that we keep manufacturing rate at 3%, where it is now, but to reduce the rate to 2% for businesses that still generate this higher revenue threshold, $10 million. We also are recommending that we reduce the testing lab rate from 3% to 1%, which keeps us in line with other communities around us for this key area of testing labs. For the fiscal impact, I mentioned that we would see a reduction in distribution revenue from existing businesses based on a lower tax rate. However, we believe that this would be made up for by additional revenues from other distribution businesses coming into our community that would see our tax rate of 1% for a higher level business and 2% for everybody else as more advantageous and provide further incentive to locate and invest in Grover Beach. The investment examples I would highlight include a new 16,500 square foot distribution and processing facility on Huston Street. The company is called El Dorado. They were recently approved by the Planning Commission over the summertime, and they've submitted for building permits with us. I believe a representative is on the call this evening and can speak more to their company and the investment that they intend to make in Grover Beach and why this reduced rate is very important for them to further invest in our community. As the council is aware, we also have six vacant lots, a total of 110,000 square feet of potential space on Huston Street. Those were entitled several years ago. We haven't seen the buildings and facilities materialize just yet. We know there's interest for them, and having this additional investment structure, we believe, would provide some additional incentive for manufacturing, distribution, or other businesses to locate in these vacant lots. Next slide, please. So what staff is looking for tonight is council direction on changes to the tax rate structure. We're not looking for final action this evening. We're looking for your direction based on the information before you and the recommendation that staff is putting forth around what we think is important to create more investment opportunities in Grover Beach. What we do, pending your direction, is to come back at a later meeting with a resolution to enact these changes beginning January 1, 2022. We'd like to do this mid-year, so that we can have at least 6 months of new tax rates in place so that businesses have that certainty in mind as they continue their investments and their economic activity in our community. Again, we right now would see some decline based in existing businesses based on these changes for distribution with an undetermined increase for new businesses. But just in the case of El Dorado, there is significant economic opportunity that they're putting on the table as part of their investments into our community. And I'll defer to the owners and COO to speak more to that in their comments. And then I'll mention that our revised estimates would be built into our mid-year budget review that we share with the council in February 2022 as part of all of our general fund revenues and see where we would land for the rest of this fiscal year and for future fiscal years going forward. With that, I'd be glad to take your council's questions and comments. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Bronson, for that presentation. And before we turn to council for questions, I will invite members of the public that wish to speak on this item to call in at 805-321-6639. And I'll turn to unmuted mics to see if anyone has questions for Mr. Bronson. Very good. Not seeing anyone unmute. I'll go ahead and reach out to our city clerk and see if anyone is on the line for public comment under this item by calling in at 805-321-6639.
No, we have no one on the line.
Okay. Oh, actually, we did have a gentleman who just came on the line to with his camera. So I'm guessing that you might be a member of the public, sir, that would like to speak on this item.
I'm a member of El Dorado, if it's appropriate to speak on that now.
Yes, it is. Thank you, sir, for joining us.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor and council members for taking the time this evening. My name is Chad Kikta, and I'm the COO, and it is my pleasure to represent El Dorado this evening as we develop a great working relationship with the city of Grover Beach. Our family-run organization is proud to participate in establishing the cannabis industry on the Central Coast. Current investments include our farm in Santa Barbara County, our current distribution operation in Grover, and our new processing and manufacturing facility that will launch next year. We are motivated to expand on our substantial investment by solidifying our partnership with the city to create a vertically integrated ecosystem that services our community. Our 35-acre farm in Santa Barbara County will cultivate flower next spring and will be processed at our facility here in Grover Beach. We'll have about 17,000 square foot of drying, trimming, packaging, and distribution space. Our focus is to support all the cultivation in the area by providing a one-stop solution for their harvest. This will bring great tax revenue for the city and allow El Dorado to employ many local residents to fulfill our operations. The El Dorado team would like to thank Mr. Mayor Lee and council members for taking a forward approach to cannabis that fosters a conducive working relationship that recognizes the opportunity on both sides. A real partnership for us means we can speak openly while sharing feedback to find a mutually beneficial solution. Grover Beach has created that environment, and we are proud to be doing business here. We would also like to thank the city staff for the thorough report and ask the city council to approve the staff recommendations to revise the tax rate on cannabis distribution and manufacturing of gross receipts to be on par with the tax rates our competitors pay. El Dorado is here to do good business with good people, and we take pride in sharing that goal with the city of Grover Beach. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you for those comments, Mr. Kitka. So let me turn, actually, I do have a quick question for you, if you don't mind. You kind of referenced the opportunity for growth in Grover Beach, and I was just kind of curious if you had an estimate of the number of employees that you'll be bringing to your business.
Yeah, anywhere from about 30 to 60 employees just for the processing plant that we have online right now, and that's in addition to the current operational distro that we have on Highland Way.
Very good. Thank you for that that clarification. Let me see, just by unmuting of yourselves, if anyone has a question for Mr. Kitka. Very good. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time here tonight. We'll turn back to our city clerk and see if any members of the public have called in for public comment on this item. Thank you, sir.
No, we have no one on the line.
Very good. Then we will go ahead and close public comment on this item and bring it back to the council for some deliberation or direction to staff. So let's see, by unmuting of yourselves, if anyone has any questions, comments, or is ready to move forward with direction to staff. I'll turn to Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Thank you, Mayor. Well, I am ready to make a motion whenever my colleagues are ready for that. I do, though, thank staff for this very comprehensive and informative agenda item. And I do think it is important that we do stay competitive. The fact that our revenues are so high in such a short period of time is just amazing. I think that it is worth the investment in our city to follow staff's recommendation to go forward in these three areas. I think that in the long run, it will certainly be beneficial to not only the city and our residents, but also to those businesses who hopefully will come and join our business community. Thank you.
Very good. So, Councilmember Miller.
Thank you, Mayor. I would echo Mayor Pro Tem Bright's comments. I too am supportive of the recommended changes. I believe the proposed tax rate structure modifications may be what is needed to incentivize larger operations with potential for higher earnings to bring their business here to the city, and in turn would generate additional tax revenue for us. Thank you.
Very good. Next, I'll turn to Councilmember Rushing.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm also going to support staff's recommendations here and sort of dovetailing on Councilmember Miller's comments. It occurs to me that a community of our size with additional retail growing in neighboring communities, it seems like on every couple of months basis, that our true openness to an economy of scale really is with some of these larger businesses that we can actually bring in that can work without our fairly insular community. So again, I wanted to thank staff for this incredibly thorough report. It taught me a great deal that I did not know 6 months ago. Thank you very much.
Very good. And not seeing Councilmember Robert unmute his microphone, I'll go ahead and kind of echo comments from fellow council members as well, and also add one component to that, and the fact that while we have had an opportunity to bring some funds to the community via the cannabis industry, we have done it safely and correctly and legally. And I think that's a big component to be able to share with a members of the community, and then also the residents, but then also the businesses that want to work here and bring employees here as well, because they know how we operate. They know that we're going to be business friendly, but we're also going to be in compliance with our rules and regulations. And with respect to that, I think we've got an opportunity to be, again, business friendly on with a legal industry that's in California, one that we've kind of put a structure in place that allows them to flourish and to make consistent decisions along the lines that will help our community, also by providing jobs for those that may move to the community or maybe already in the community, and then which gives us an opportunity to invest in other ways in our community with those funds. So with that, I think I heard that Mayor Pro Tem Bright was ready for a motion on this. So I'll let you proceed.
Thank you. Although I don't know that we need a motion when I'm looking at the staff report. I think they just want direction.
I think the direction is perhaps consensus then, if Mr. Bronson is okay with that. Mm-hmm. Very good. Yes, then sir. I guess we'll do a consensus by thumbs up. Looks like I'm seeing unanimous consensus. So Mr. Bronson, thank you for your work on that. Thank you for being attuned to the business community when it comes to that, and thank you for to El Dorado and others in the cannabis industry who are looking to invest in Grover Beach with their businesses, with their funding, and with hopefully employees coming into our area as well. So that will conclude work on item number 10 this evening. And that brings us to our second round of public communications, where I'll invite members of the public to call in at 805 and actually 321-6639. And before I do that, let me turn back real quickly to Mr. Bronson, because I don't know if that was all you needed from us on item number 10. Was that consensus all you needed, or was there any other direction that you'd like to see from us?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. That is exactly what I was looking for this item. I want to thank the council for your continued leadership in implementing the cannabis industry in a safe and responsible way for our community. And we'll bring this resolution to you at a future council meeting. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Just wanted to make sure that we didn't forget anything there. So we will go ahead and move on to public communications, where folks can call in at 805-321-6639. And let me turn to our city clerk and see if there's any members of the public on the line for public comment.
Yes, we have Brenda Auer.
Good evening, Ms. Auer.
Hello, Jeff. I was not calling in about this item. I was calling in about another item. You're talking about the tax, correct?
No, actually, that item is concluded. This is our second round of public comments, so this is your opportunity.
Okay, I was calling in about item 6, and unfortunately, I wasn't able to get on the city's website to get the span for the live or the audio. And then I did call in, but you'd already gone over item 6. And she set me up, I'm sorry, I don't know what her name is that answered the phone, but she set me up with a website to go to so I could watch it live. Are you there?
Yes, we are. Yes, we can hear you.
So the situation with number 6, where we're not having live meetings, is in a situation like tonight, I wasn't able to watch the meeting at all. I was able to go on this other site, but I knew nothing about it till I called in and asked why I couldn't see it. I think the live meetings are real important so that we can all be together or have another way where we absolutely can be able to see the meeting. My daughter and my granddaughter were at the Hollywood Bowl this last weekend. Thousands of people there, and they're still gathering. I don't see why our small town can't have meetings in person again. So that was my comment on it. I don't know what the outcome was, because obviously, as I said, I wasn't able to log in on the city website. Did you make a decision on that matter?
So we'll go ahead and respond to that after we close public comment. So was there anything else you wanted to add, Ms. Auer?
No, that was it. Thank you very much.
Very good. Thank you for those comments. So I'll turn back to our city clerk and see if anyone else has called in for public comment at this time.
No, we have no one on the line.
Okay, very good. Then I will go ahead and close public comment to bring it back to the council. And let me turn to either Mr. Hale or Mr. Bronson to respond to Ms. Auer's comments. And I will let the public know that we did approve the consent agenda on a 5-0 unanimous vote. Mr. Hale.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, there were some technical problems, but we always have it available on channel 20 for viewing online. And in fact, that was operational. And we also have call-in available, which between the two of them, you can track both the meeting on a real-time basis and also be able to call in and participate on any given item. So we did have one platform that was dysfunctional for a little while, but we did offer the public both real-time availability to participate and observe the meeting.
Okay, I appreciate those comments. So, and so from your opinion, we are in compliance with AB 361, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Let me turn to other council members just to see if there's any questions on that item, or I see Mr. Bronson has unmuted himself, see if he wanted to add anything to the discussion.
I can wait until after the council members have a chance to speak, Mr. Mayor.
Very good. Let's see, by a show of unmuting yourselves, if you have any questions for Mr. Hale on this topic. Not seeing anyone unmute themselves, I'll turn it over to Mr. Bronson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And just maybe a comment about this item, which, again, was earlier approved as part of the consent calendar. The item was about AB 361 and establishing necessary findings to continue the teleconferencing meeting flexibility that we've been practicing for the last year and a half. It continues to allow us to do this as we prepare to return to in-person meetings. And we are indeed preparing for that return. We've been working internally now at the staff level, given the improvement that we've seen in COVID metrics, the cases, the transmission rates, hospitalizations. We are definitely trending in the right direction. And thus, we are working on the plans to resume our meetings once again in the council chambers. We don't have a firm date yet, but that date, we believe, will be occurring soon. We're also tracking the county's mask order, which is in effect for indoor public spaces. Unlike an outdoor space at a park or an amphitheater, an indoor gathering, indoor meeting, requires strict adherence to the mask order for council members, for staff, for members of the public. And so that's something that we're tracking as well, as that just has a feeling around what the meeting dynamic is. And so one option that we could look at is as the mask order is lifted at some point here, hopefully in the near future, given the criteria put out by the county, that could be a point at which we decide to go back in person again. That could be end of this calendar year, early next calendar year. But trust me, for the council then, we are looking diligently at returning to in-person meetings to resume our dialogue once again in the people's chamber within the council chamber. Until such point, we are continuing the virtual teleconference in compliance with the law and in allowing for public comment and access as well. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Bronson. I appreciate those comments. And then just from an order of magnitude, so item number eight, the COVID-19 response update, if I recall correctly, our case rate is in the range of 36, which is still substantial per 100,000, which is substantial. And so I think one of the criteria that we are looking at, as well as the public health officials are looking at, is if we could get our case rate down into the I believe it's called moderate or approximately 7 per 100,000. And so I know we've got a long ways to go, it seems, but we are making progress in that direction, and we look forward to participating in public meetings in person in the very near future. So with that, we will close public communication and turn to our council committee reports. And I'll turn to, let's go with Councilmember Miller first tonight for any council committee reports.
Thank you, Mary Lee. Nothing to report at this time.
That was a great person to start with then. I'll turn to Council Member Robert.
Two for two, nothing to report, Mayor. Thank you.
Okay, very good. I'm gonna kind of go on a limb and turn to Council Member Bright and see if she has any council committee assignments, or Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Well, yes, I had one. It was the Integrated Waste Management Authority meeting, and the result of that was on our consent agenda to complete the resolution. And that's really about it for me.
Okay.
Thank you.
Maybe a quick question, if you don't mind. So is it is it the intent of each city to come forward with a resolution similar to ours to kind of maintain the consistency of the cities together as the Integrated Waste Management Authority, or is there any concerns about that?
No, that is the plan, yes. And I don't have any concerns personally. I know that a number of cities have already gone forward with the resolution. And so I don't see that as being an issue at all.
Okay, very good. Appreciate that update. Next, I'll turn to Councilmember Rushing.
I also have no committee reports for this meeting. Thank you.
Very good. I just had one committee report, and that was the Five Cities Fire Authority. And it was literally a 12-minute meeting because the only necessary item was to update a job classification position that was needed for a HR issue. And so with that, I will turn to our League of California Cities Policy Committee reports and other league matters. I'm not aware of any at this point, except for the fact that they are the league. Channel Islands County Division is trying to come up with a way to have quarterly dinner or quarterly meeting, and rather than doing it on a Friday night, they're considering doing it on a Saturday night at a location that might be appropriate able to be a kind of an overnight stay for some to make it a destination. So rather than just kind of an up and a back, which is what is occurred on occasion. So, and then in talking with Mr. Dave Mullinex, he is working on updating us as the legislature is out of session, but there is always work being done up in Sacramento, so he'll be keeping us up to date as that occurs. So next, I'll turn to council communications, see if any member of the council has updates that they'd like to make for us. Also, I'll go in reverse order this time and start with Council Member Rushing.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm sure everybody wants to hop on this one, but I just wanted to remind everybody to please have an incredibly safe Halloween. Some of us probably forgot what it's all about because last year it really truly did not exist, which was hell for a lot of folks because it was the first one on a Saturday and gosh knows how long. But also wanted to call out, you can check it out on Instagram. You can't even see it. It's all right. We've got Halloween activities coming up at the Ramona Gardens Park and Gazebo this coming Friday, October 29th from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Everybody's favorite, the pumpkin carving contest will be in place. I know my daughter is excited. You don't have to carve. You can paint, draw, decorate, do all of that wonderful stuff. Trunk or Treat is back in play. And thank you to the Grover Beach Rotary for pulling that together. They're also sponsoring free hot dogs. So, I mean, what could be better? Just saying. And then Balloonie the Clown will be there. So we love Balloonie. As long as you like clowns. I'm just putting it out there. I've got fears. Anyway, I just want everyone to be safe. I'm looking forward to seeing people at Ramona on Friday from 5 p.m. to 8. And see you all in November. Take care.
Very good. Thank you for those communications. Next, I'll turn to Council Member Robert.
Free hot dogs. I'll be there. I just want to remind everyone also from our Grover Beach Police Department, this is Red Ribbon Week. The Red Ribbon Campaign is the national largest and longest running drug use prevention campaign, inspiring kids to be and live drug free. For more information, you can go to www.redribbon.org. And please, everyone, as Councilmember Rushing says, be safe out there and watch out for those kids in the dark. And wish we got some more rain. I think it's gone, but at least we got some. Okay. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, sir. So next I'll turn to Councilmember Miller.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll just mention a communication that the council received from Ms. Jeffries in opposition to removing the delineator poles and cutting into the palm tree planters. But as you've all heard, the update from City Manager Bronson earlier, we'll have another discussion in early 2022. So I'm hopeful that Ms. Jeffries will be able to participate in that discussion then. Thank you.
Very good. Next, I'll turn to Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Thank you. Well, there was one other email communication from a Nikki, I'm going to just butcher her name, I'm sure, Ebrahimi. Her email was regarding homeless folks gathering at 16th Street Park. She, in her email, requested that possibly no overnight parking signs be posted. I responded to her email, and I did mention that I would, or someone else, my colleagues would, or at least mention her email and her concerns. Thank you.
Very good. Appreciate that. So, and I know our city manager has some updates on that, among several other items. But I did want to under my council communications, kind of invite folks to. We've talked about restarting our coffee with a council, and that first item is first time is going to be November 6th, which is a week from this this Saturday. Myself and Councilmember Miller are going to enjoy some coffee with some folks at Red Bee. We intend to do it from 9 to 10:30 a.m. So they've got a great outdoor patio there. So we'll start at 9, and I'm up for staying as long as people are out and about and want to have some good conversation with us. So so with that, I will turn to our city manager and see what kind of reports and comments he wants to provide us tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just first of all, in regards to the email that Mayor Pro Tem Bright mentioned, we are going to communicate with the individual regarding 16th Street Park and homeless individuals who are there and elsewhere. We are working diligently to provide shelter space and make sure our public spaces are also well maintained, while we have beautiful, amazing community parks for families and children. And I'm very proud of the work that we've done at our parks. 16th Street Park is a true gem and attracts families at the playground and the picnic shelter. And so we'll keep taking steps to make our parks even more attractive and accessible for all in the community.
And Mr. Brunson, I'm going to cut in there for just a second, and I apologize. I should have let you know. Your comments about the use of public parks is definitely important and needed by our community. And I'd like to take a moment just to remind folks that it is the public's park. And so if you do have an unscheduled or an unplanned event and you do leave debris all over the park, there was a gender reveal party up at Grover Heights on Saturday. And unfortunately, there was a lot of debris left. And so there was a lot of kids that were picking up debris as well as dogs kind of sniffing around. And unfortunately, there was a lot of little Mylar balloons and items. So to Mr. Bronson's point, we want to make sure that we've got clean parks and enjoyable parks, and every member of the community can do that by making sure that if they do use a park, that they clean up after themselves. So, Mr. Bronson, I apologize for interrupting your comments, but I wanted to insert that that comment there.
Thank you. Very timely and relevant comment. So moving from there, we did receive almost 2 inches of rain in 12 hours in this early winter, really fall storm that we received. It was very helpful to get that rain falling, although we are still in a drought and we still need all the water, rainwater, but also other water sources that we can get. And council leadership in Central Coast Blue certainly helps speak to our need to secure additional water supply. With regards to this storm, we did see some localized flooding in some of the usual places in Grover Beach. Nothing too out of the ordinary, we believe. I'll echo the mayor's comments about PG&E responding to the power outage that took place in part of North Grover Beach, along with Pismo Beach and Etna Valley and other areas. That was restored about noon today, and we thank PG&E for that work. It was great to see Mentone Lake forming once again, becoming the beautiful winter duck pond that occurs seasonally. So great to see that taking place once again. And the last comment I have is this Wednesday, the 27th at 6 p.m. is our council districting workshop. It'll be a virtual workshop using the Zoom platform, not our usual Teams platform, but the Zoom platform, which is more accessible for those who have the link and can take part in the meeting that way. We put the link out on our website and social media pages. We'll put it out once more. But this is a chance for the public to hear more about the districting process, why we're doing it, how it works, how to create and submit maps, as we're really encouraging the public to give us their maps to show what they would do in creating four different districts that are roughly equal in population across the community. I will share with the council that we've now gotten in over 10 submissions. We were at only one up until last week, so we've gotten in a bunch more because of the mailer that we put out across the community last week, and we're hoping to get even more submissions coming forward so that the public can let us know how they would create districts that are representative across the city. So again, 6 p.m. this Wednesday, October 27th, it'll be a very informative workshop that will help provide good information about the process and how to submit maps. And then ultimately, the council will be considering the maps to review in January and asked to adopt a final map by March of next year. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Bronson. I'll turn to our city attorney and see if he has any reports and comments this evening.
No, I think I've talked enough today.
Very good. Thank you, sir. So we don't have any closed session for this evening, so we will consider ourselves adjourned until our first meeting in November. Thank you, everyone. Good work tonight.
Thank you. Good night.